News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to Sound Bites. This is America's longest running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice One toll free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Bray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Sunday, the 10th of October, Anno Domini 2004, and you lucky people, you're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is going to be a wonderful show. We've got all kinds of stuff. We're going to eventually announce the winner of our virus competition.
Boy, was that something else. As a matter of fact, I just wound up breaking the record in our shop where we were up to 1,660.
Wow.
For just Attaware.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about the news, and we're going to look at stuff on. It's going to be just a wonderful couple of hours. And
But I got to put a plug in.
Uh-oh.
For my friend Mike over at Donuts Delight.
Sure.
Got a dozen donuts because things are kind of closed up around here at Midtown on Sundays.
Ain't that the truth? Jesus,
it's like
crackers.
A ghost town. Nothing. But got a dozen great donuts from just up the street from a friend of mine. So no, it's personal.
Up the street from you.
Yeah, up from me. So he's really like, you know. It's dangerous now because they live so close to them.
Well, that's the worst part when you live near a donut shop.
Yeah,
that's problematical. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Not for me, of course, since I don't live near a donut shop. But yes, I can understand that. All right, we're going to go to the news, and apparently we're going to start with Steve because Dave's wandering around the studio having.
Well, I'm trying to get the cam.
The cam.
We're in focus.
The webcam is finally back up, and it's sort of in focus, kinda.
So I'll start with the news then.
So you'll start with the news.
We had a couple of good stories in the Apple world this week. Microsoft has started shipping Virtual PC 7. It's the Windows emulator for the Mac OS. Basically, it's a Pentium emulator, so you can run any Windows OS you want on it. And one of the weirdest ones they sell is Linux. So you can buy a Virtual PC and install Linux instead of just using the Unix that's already on your Mac.
You're right.
Which is interesting. But some people like to do that. And in fact, when Microsoft bought the Virtual PC line from Kinectix a few years ago, they wanted it for the virtual emulation so that on, say, a Windows 2000 machine, you can also run a Windows NT server environment. You can run a Windows 98 environment. So it's great for tech support people being able to run different OSs and not needing the multitude of computers. The biggest issue with Virtual PC 7 is it works on the IBM G5 processor, which the previous versions didn't. So now they say you can expect a 10 to 30% increase in performance on a Parmac G5. So for Mac users that absolutely have to run a Windows-specific program where there isn't a Mac equivalent, you can now do that. There was also a survey that came out from, let's see, PC World, which is an interesting interesting thing. Apple is ranked the number one retail market in computers by PC World magazine.
Are Macs PCs?
Are Macs, yeah. Well, it depends if it's capital PC, which is a trademark of IBM Corporation.
Right.
Or lower PC, which means personal computer.
Yeah, but who makes the Power PC chip?
Right, the Power PC chip is IBM, and Apple often used IBM DeskStar hard drives before they sold it to Hitachi. So I had an IBM processor. In fact, my computer now, I have an IBM processor and an IBM hard drive. I guess I am IBM compatible.
See? Yeah.
See, even you are coming over from the dark side.
So Apple ranked the number one in retail sales among computer stores. And another lawsuit now against Apple and 33 other companies. Honeywell, which is a big name in the corporate world, is suing Apple and 33 other companies for patent infringement on a technology that increases the brightness of images and reduces the appearance of certain interference effects on LCDs. Basically, things that make LCDs brighter and cut down. down on the moray patterns. Apparently, Honeywell filed this patent in 1991, and no one's quite sure why they took almost 15 years before they filed suit. One of the allegations is they've been trying all these years to get the companies to settle. It's interesting to see that it's not just computer companies involved in this suit. They're also suing cell phone companies, audio companies, Audiovox, Casio, Fuji, digital cameras that use pretty much anybody that uses an LCD display instead of a CRT. So we're going to have to see how this works out. Honeywell does say that several companies, including Samsung and I believe it was LG, already licensed the technology. And all of the LCDs that Apple sells are built by Samsung. Apple actually invested quite a bit of money in Samsung a few years ago. So that it's going to be interesting to see that if Samsung is a licensee and Apple buys Samsung products, shouldn't that exempt Apple from the lawsuit? We don't know. We'll have to see what the lawyers think.
You're right. It's all about the lawyers.
It's all about the lawyers, yep.
Is that it for you?
That's it for me. I thought I'd give you guys a chance.
Dave
still isn't ready yet.
Dave was ready, and then he stopped being ready.
Well, typical, we come in here and go to fill out the timesheets.
There's no blank ones.
Nobody made any extra copies, so during one of the breaks, I'll have to go make copies. All right.
And I seem to have completely lost my pocket watch.
We are really disorganized this morning.
Not like there's 27 clocks in this room that all have different times on them.
Yeah, right.
That's all a mess.
Thank you.
Well, see,
who's got my pocket watch?
It's that 5-minute switchover now where we're used to the 20 minutes of Paul Harvey that we could get everything set up again.
Now it's quick, get in here, because we got literally about 5 minutes. We got to get the cam set up and get organized. And let's see if I can do it. Anyways, on the hardware end, IBM has come out with a real cool thing right now.
Okay, wait, I found my pocket watch. It was in my pocket. Go ahead.
What a silly place for a...
Go ahead.
All right, the ThinkPads, the T42 series, are now going to offer a embedded fingerprint reader.
Cool.
So if you don't want anybody booting up to your machine or getting onto the network, you can literally set this up to scan your fingerprint, and it'll read it. It's right on the right side, lower corner, so it won't interfere for any of you touch typists.
Our left-handed users are now left-handed.
Yeah. Well, as always. But the great thing about this, it only adds $50 to the cost of the laptop, which, you know, for today's technology, that's cheap.
There's a whole new class of biometric sensors, they're calling them. Fingerprints and retinas and whatnot.
Is they just finished a 2-year study of fingerprints, the first one that was ever done. Up until that study was done, there was no scientific proof that fingerprints were unique.
Yep.
It was something we just all accepted,
yep.
But there was no proof of it. They just finished a study, and that study says the likelihood of, you know, there are no absolutes in science, but the likelihood is extremely high, like 5-9s.
This would be kind of dangerous for me, because the way I keep altering my fingerprints.
Yeah, cut them off.
Doing the public.
As we've already seen in movies and television, just cut off the finger of the person you need to get into that door with, and you'll get into that door.
Well, that's because these are just plain biometrics. Wait until they also measure temperature, body temperature.
All right,
so then you have to kill them quickly.
Yeah.
Or just heat the body back up to 98.6, as long as there's no pulse being checked.
All right. Anyways, Dell is also recalling a lot of their power cords for their laptops. So
this was interesting, because it's a million power cords, and we're wondering if it's the same company that made the ones that Apple recalled a couple of months ago.
Yeah, this is 990,000 of these adapters. They were all sold between September 1998 and February 2000. That's one heck of a span. So if you have some of the Dell Latitudes, Precisions, Inspiration notebooks, and are marked with the name Dell and the part number PN9364U7832D4983D.
Bingo.
We'll have that link on the website shortly.
Yeah. You better get a hold of them, because they will definitely send you out a new adapter at no charge and possibly save your machine from burning up.
These are the power cords where you just get a power cord and there's a brick in the middle of it,
right,
and then it goes
to
the
other. Which makes it the ULC.
The very first time I ever saw that, and I don't know if it's the very first time it ever existed, was on the Apple IIc.
Yep.
Apple's first real kind of semi-quasi-portable little computer.
Yeah, we called it Brick on a Leash.
They called it, they officially called it the floor-mounted power supply.
Yeah.
The floor-mounted power supply. Okay. Can you imagine?
So if you mount it on your floor.
The poor PR people looking at this thing and saying, how in the name of heaven are we going to make this... put a positive spin on the fact that we've stuck this brick in the middle of the power cord. Yep. It's floor mounted. It's out of your way.
Makes the computer smaller.
I mean, that can sit there and go right on up and cause your machine to burn up.
Yep.
Which is definitely not a good thing, since usually the components, you know, like
right.
keyboards, monitors, or the displays and all that, usually wind up, if you want to replace them, cost more than you originally paid for.
Yeah, especially the display.
Yeah, the display. I mean, yeah, you might pay $1,000 for the machine, and then you go to replace the display, and it's $900.
We had $1,200.
We had a customer, we're not quite sure how it happened, but he thought he put his computer to sleep and put it in his carry bag. Well, apparently the lid wasn't closed completely. The computer didn't go to sleep. It overheated in the bag.
Yep.
The plastic keyboard literally melted all the plastic keycaps off into the screen.
Ow.
What's really surprising is after we put a new keyboard on, it still worked.
Wow. You couldn't see anything, but it worked.
Well, no, the bottom of the screen, apparently just the buildup of plastic, so maybe the bottom quarter inch of the screen you lost, but the whole rest of the screen worked.
Wow.
Really surprising.
That's impressive.
One other thing, Western Digital has now come out with a new cooler running and quieter laptop hard drive. They're offering them in the 4016 80 gigabytes. They come with a 2K buffer, which is upgradable to the 8K or 8 meg buffer. But the biggest problem that they had was, you know, trying to get these to run at a decent speed, but not overheat, because again, you're fighting over space in a laptop. But they've been able to keep it, one, quiet, so you don't hear that clicking and all that while you're trying to work on a laptop, keeping it cooler in the laptop, and still offering the speed.
All right, we're going to be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
I've got story after story.
Listen, I've talked to you folks a lot about Anonymizer over the last couple weeks. Let me just remind you, if you go to getprivatenow.com, put in my name, Nick, you get $90 worth of software for $49.95. You get a spyware killer, an anti-spam desktop shell, and the Anonymizer private surfing suite. GetPrivateNow.com. Put in my name, Nick, a $90 value for $49.95.
He probably works as hard as...
Good afternoon. 3-in-1...
50,000 watts.
Huh.
I wonder how many gigabytes that would translate to. Welcome back to Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Here's Nick Francesco.
Where? I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. To the phones in a moment, but first, a little bit of news, particularly about Microsoft. If you're a developer or a website administrator and you're running ASP.NET, run, do not walk to Microsoft.com/security and check out the latest vulnerability in ASP.NET. It's a big one, and you need to be aware of it. We're seeing lots
of... That should be your homepage if you're an IT manager.
Exactly the truth. That is the truth. A lot of people are, again, experiencing trouble with Service Pack 2. Most of the upgrades are going pretty smoothly, but there are a significant number with problems. Service Pack 2 street cred seems to have hit a new all-time low. Interesting report from AOL. They're readying their own standalone browser.
Don't they own Netscape?
Yes, that's the interesting part. They own Netscape, but the browser will be based on Internet Explorer. So for those of you who have been looking to not use Internet Explorer anymore, the new AOL browser may not be a good solution for you.
Wonder when that license expires.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Internet Explorer also just announced that they're going to now start copying a lot of the features that are in Firefox.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are, because Firefox is beginning to take over
market share from them.
They did finally add the pop-up blocker in with SP2.
Yeah, it sort of works.
That's about the only sort of good thing.
Right. I'll tell you what, once you've done tabbed browsing, you'll never go back.
Yep.
There's a new Trojan out there that kills adware. So any sort of adware that's spyware, malware that's on your computer, there's a new Trojan out that will actually kill it. However, it's really not a good idea to leave anybody's Trojan horse programs running on your machine. So don't wait to get it.
Do you have this story about the bill on spyware going through Congress?
Yes, that's coming up. Yahoo is getting ready to put ads in their RSS feeds. Google is now going to use SMS, small message, short message service on your phone. You can now Google from your phone. There is a spyware bill that passed the House, and Congress will try for it by year's end. It's called Spy Act, which stands for Securely Protect Yourself Against Cyber Trespass, and basically makes it illegal to hijack control of a user's computer, expose users to pop-up ads that can't be closed, modify a user's personal settings, and or download personal information without permission.
Right, without permission is the key, and most of the programs like Kazaa that installs spyware asks your permission in the license agreement no one ever reads.
Yeah, exactly, and that's the big problem. When you look at the end user license agreement and blow past it, you have agreed to let most of these programs put spyware on your system.
Market-driven data.
Market-driven data. So if you go back and say, oh, they put spyware on my system and I want to sue them, your lawyer will laugh because there's you have no basis. Oh, wait, looks like we won't get to the phones. We're going to take another quick break, but I promise you we'll get to the phones. And our first call is quite a long-distance one, so hang on the line there, Randy. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, Randy from Largo, Florida, and me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Now, nice. The old-fashioned way. Use your telephone and dial 222-1180 or the Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180 or *1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Welcome back to Soundbites with Nick Francesco on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. And we're going to get to the phones as soon as I tell you today's trivia question. As you know, every week we have a trivia question, and we're giving away a copy of Anonymizer. You know, I think he spent all week trying to find the cool stuff in the computer. Look at him. He's happy as a pig in mud.
Yeah.
Okay, cut it. And last week we did not give away a copy of Anonymizer, so this week we're actually giving two away. One to the winner of our
spyware contest.
Number of spyware found on a machine contest, which we'll get to a little later. And the whoever answers the trivia question correctly, what processor did the Apple IIe computer use? What processor did the Apple IIe computer use? Now we're going to the phones, and our first caller is Randy, all the way from Largo, Florida. Welcome, Randy.
Thank you very much, guys.
I take it you're listening to us online.
Yes, I am.
I do have one listener from the Tampa area, it says here.
Yes, I am. I'm that person from the plywood capital of the country.
The plywood capital of the country. I'm now speechless. Thank you.
My question is for you great gentlemen. I'm using Mac 10.3, and am I gracious playing around with the computer? I think I have messed up my settings where I cannot set the lock key and use the keypad. You got any help?
The numlock key?
The numlock key?
Yeah, the numlock key, where I cannot use the keypad to the side.
I didn't know there was a setting for that. Let me dig around on my machine for a minute.
Could be a physical problem, but you need to know if there's a setting somewhere to check that. Now, you can caps lock still works.
Yes.
Scroll lock works.
Yes.
10-1 odds, it's the num key.
It's that specific key, I would guess. Because there isn't a setting that I'm aware of for that num lock key.
Just
it's,
like key, caps key.
Yeah.
There's no settings. It's either on or off.
Now, there are programs you can run that will let you...
Turn off num lock or caps lock if you never want to have to worry about accidentally turning them on. Try doing a safe boot. Hold the shift key down while you're booting. And it'll say safe boot, and it won't load a lot of the extra kernel extensions.
Okay.
And if your numlock key then works, you know you've loaded some little utility.
Right.
Oh.
You can also try creating a new user and see if the problem is a user problem or a system problem.
Okay. I never thought of doing it that way.
Yeah, it's just some of the new troubleshooting tips we're learning about OS X since it is so radically different from previous operating systems.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it's...
Well, radically different from previous Macintosh operating systems.
True. one of the things that we are almost sort of picking up now from the Windows, especially the XP world, when you first boot your Macintosh, it creates an administrator user that has all kinds of extra privileges. And for novice users, it's probably better to be running in a standard user mode where you can't accidentally delete stuff. So
okay.
Making a second standard user you actually work in leaves the administrator user pretty much unfettered and uncluttered.
Ooh.
So that if anything goes wrong with your standard user, you can switch back to administrator and see if the problem follows.
Okay.
And, of course, that's a good thing for all of us Windows users as well to note. If don't run as the administrator.
And that's what I have been doing.
Right. So create a user. Well, once you clear up this problem, create a user, a standard user, and log in as that person. That prevents you from accidentally deleting junk. If you do get a virus, and I know it's a lot less likely on the Mac side, but if you do get a virus, it limits the amount of damage it can do. For Windows people, that's really important.
Yeah.
Of course, they've got the vector of Internet Explorer, which owns the system anyway, so that doesn't really help as much as it could. So, Randy, two quick questions for you.
Yes.
First, do you want to take a guess at the trivia?
Okay.
Okay.
How about Motorola with the Motorola chip?
Yes, but I need a specific Motorola number.
Oh.
A chip type.
I can't help you there.
A chip type. It doesn't have, you know, the family, the processor family. All right, the second question is, just because we're gluttons for punishment, what's the temperature there?
Right, today?
Yeah.
Today it's a balmy 86.
You stink. Oh. You stink!
That's better than rain and winds of 100 plus mile an hour.
Well, there is that. God is very angry at Florida. We're not quite sure why. Were you in that area?
Yes, I am, unfortunately, and I have house damage.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're okay. Your family's okay.
Yes.
That's what counts.
Yes.
All right, Randy, good luck. Let us know how that works out.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. I appreciate all you do for us.
Thank you.
I saw a cute one there where somebody had taken the map and rearranged Florida and put it up by the Dakotas.
Well, then they can get 100 below zero in the winter.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. All right, listen.
We're having too much
fun.
Professionals, don't try this at home.
I tell you, if people could only see what really goes on.
They can.
Not our little looks we give each other.
Well, and for a while there, we were seeing the Mac camera was pointed out the window there.
It was on Brendan, and I forgot to move it back to Rob.
We're going to be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob. I'm a professional Linton, and Mina Francesco on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Whams. Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve is here every Saturday from 12:20 till 2 to answer any and all computer and computer-related questions. Now, back to Nick Francesco on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Our next caller... Vito. Well, before we go to Vito, let me remind you that today's trivia question is, what processor did the Apple IIe computer
use? We're looking for a number.
We're looking for, instead of saying
Intel processor yeah. would be the Pentium 3 right. or the 386. Yeah. It's that kind of, you know, it's the brand right. name right. that I'm looking for, as opposed to the company.
Largo was close.
Right, yeah. right, right, but it's not. That's not what I'm looking for. So our next caller is Vito from Chilai. Welcome, Vito. What's your question?
Thanks for taking my call. It's always great to listen to you guys. Some days even better.
Thank you.
I've got a situation that's appeared, and I don't know how to get around it. If I open up a JPEG, I'll get a little thumbnail in the upper left-hand corner. Sometimes, not all the time. And it'll sit there for about a minute and a half, and then to get out of it or to let it open, it'll open in about a minute and a half. And if I don't want to do that, I'll just use Alt-Control-Delete, and I'll cancel out of it. So I'm running Windows 98 Second Edition, and it's something that just kind of happened, and I don't know how to get out of it.
When you say you open a JPEG, in what product?
In what product? In Windows.
You mean if you just double-click on a JPEG?
Just double-click on a JPEG, right.
So you're and what program opens up to open up that JPEG?
I'll tell you in a minute.
Because you can't just open it. It's got to open like inside Paint Internet Explorer or something else. And
when they're open, it says Microsoft Internet Explorer.
Okay, so it's opening in IE.
Yeah. Change the association.
But let's go one step farther. It takes about a minute and a half to open these things.
Right.
During that minute and a half, do you get a lot of disk activity?
No. Right now, I've opened one while we talk, and I'm getting disk activity. It stopped. I tried to close it, and I can't seem to close it now. But it didn't. Right. This one didn't give me a thumbnail.
All right. The ones that give you thumbnails, are they very, very large JPEGs?
No, they're not. They're about 134 kilobytes.
Okay, and how much memory do you have?
384.
All right. These JPEGs, is it always the same ones?
It's a question of banging, you know, just opening them in rapid succession. I think if I was to wait in between, they'd all open okay. But if I just go open one and then open another, finally one of them will hang like that.
If these are these JPEGs that you're being sent by a family member or
the ones I've scanned into it?
They're your own JPEGs.
Yes.
It's one of a couple of things. First, it could be that there is a lot of spyware and stuff on your system. So I'd suggest you dance the Security Tango at securitytango.com.
That's been done, and there's just nothing in the system.
Okay, good. Then the other possibility is simply that if your system is using, if you're seeing a lot of disk activity, it could just be a lot of swapping going on. What else is running in the background?
Hardly anything running in the background.
But here's one of the key things on it. He's using IE.
Yeah.
And he's running Windows 98 Second Edition.
Right.
98 Second Edition and 98 just period has memory leak.
Right. Right.
And that can cause things to lock up, slow down, because they don't always release the memory that it's supposed to.
One thing you can try as a test is use a different program to open the JPEGs, Paint or IrfanView or...
There's a program called IrfanView, IrfanView. View, V-I-E-W. And I suspect you can get it at irfanview.something. Hold on a second.
I know it's on our link list already. I know right. Paint can open BMPs. I wonder if it can open JPEGs. Yeah. It might be able to open JPEG, and Paint you already have on Windows.
So you're saying select it and then say open with and
open
then
with Paint.
The other thing you can do is download it. It is a free viewer.
IrfanView. Paint you already have, you can try that.
Right, Paint you've already got, but IrfanView is free, and when you install it, one of the things it will do is take over the association of all of those things. And when it does that, what'll happen is anytime you click on one of these JPEGs from the desktop, they'll open an IrfanView instead. And in fact, in IrfanView, you can take a look at a bunch of them and then click on one to make it bigger, that sort of fare.
A little browser window type.
Right. So there's all kinds of neat things you can do with IrfanView that you really can't do with any of the other programs you've got. So I would suggest you give it a try. It is free. There's a list. There's a link on our website, soundbites.org. That's Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. And you'll be able to grab that and check out your stuff. And you may find that's a much more satisfactory way to look at a bunch of pictures than to open each one individually in Internet Explorer. Our next caller, Dave from Canandaigua. Welcome, Dave. What's your question?
Well, my long continuing saga of trying to switch to Linux.
Uh-huh.
And I'm the guy out here in the middle of nowhere. I'm on dial-up.
Right, right.
So a few weeks ago, there was a suggestion to get a router, which has a phone modem built into it.
Right.
I came up with a WebRAMP 200, which I think is kind of an older product, maybe.
Yeah, I've used them in the past before broadband came out.
Yeah, and what happens is that when I try and send an email out of either my Windows machine or the Linux machine, if it's a very short text message in the email, it goes through, but otherwise it just hangs. And when I went back to my direct modem, the problem went away on both machines.
It sounds like you've got the timeout set on the router wrong. I think
you need to go too low.
You've got to go through the settings for that and see what the timeout is and if there's any sort of keep alive.
Yeah, the timeout is basically how long it will stay connected before automatically hanging up. And, 300, it's usually in seconds. So if you put in five thinking minutes, no. So 300 seconds is 5 minutes.
Right. Check through that, call us back, and let us know what you find, because we have to take another quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, each and every one of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Wham!
All right, listen, we've talked before. I've told you all about the folks at Anonymizer. Don't forget, you can grab for a spyware killer, an anti-spam desktop, and the Anonymizer Private Surfing 2004 suite. A $90 value for only $49.95. How do you do this? You go to getprivatenow.com. That's all one word, getprivatenow.com. You put in my name, Nick, and you get the deal. $90 worth of software for $49.95 at getprivatenow.com. Can't be beat. Welcome back to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And we're here with phone calls. We're going to go right to Susan from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Susan. What's your question?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I have Windows XP, and during the week I was updating it, and I got the XP Pack 2, whatever that is.
Right.
Pack 2.
And now when I log on, I come up with a... On the right bottom corner of the screen, it says your computer may be at risk.
For the firewall.
And then it says the recommendations. And I go and I check all my, like the Norton antivirus says everything is fine. I go to SpyBot, everything's fine. AdAware, everything's fine.
Yeah.
SpyWare, everything's fine.
Yeah, here's your problem, Susan. Those things are not from Microsoft.
Uh-huh.
So it ignores them.
Okay.
So it's what it's basically saying is you're not running the Microsoft firewall.
Okay.
You can ignore it.
Oh, so I'm still safe.
Yes, you're fine.
You can go in. Matter of fact, you can go into the control panel, and under firewall, you can disable that, and under advanced features from that, you can say, "Don't show me this again," because all it's going to do is keep nagging you every time you boot it up. That your firewall's not up by Microsoft.
Uh-huh.
Right, it's all about Microsoft. They're not interested in what's on your system and how protected you are.
Okay.
They're only interested in whether or not you're running Microsoft products.
Oh, okay. So I go to the Windows firewall.
Right, under in the control panel.
Right.
And there's an advanced setting that also, once you say turn that off, there's an advanced that says, and don't nag me about this anymore.
Oh, okay.
All right?
That's not the exact wording, but you'll figure it out.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Descriptive.
Thank you. It is most descriptive. Thank you very much, Susan.
I had a machine this week, and it actually, a new Service Pack 2 install that corrupted its internet settings. But it actually surprised me that the new Windows Security Center knew about Zone Alarm and knew about AVG and said, you're all up to date and everything's working fine.
That is nice.
It surprised me.
Mm-hmm. Bill tries to throw that stupid firewall in.
Right. Our next caller, Perry, from Henrietta, New York. Welcome, Perry. What's your question?
I didn't have a question. I wanted to answer the trivia question.
Oh, you're going for the trivia.
Yes.
Go for it.
6502?
Yes! Absolutely right. The 6502. Well done, Perry. Well done. Hang on the line, and what's his name, Rob?
Yeah.
Rob will get... We'll take
Nick, this is Rob. Rob, this is Nick.
Rob who? Rob Linton, ladies and gentlemen, we'll take your information. So hang on the line, Perry. Well done indeed. And your copy of Anonymizer will be all in the way.
It was kind of interesting reading some of the history, apple-history.com, that goes through all the early specs. The Apple IIe, codenamed Diana, with a screaming 1 megahertz processor.
Yeah.
Released in January of 83 for $1,400.
I know, no kidding. Well done. Listen, we're gonna take another break. We'll come back at the other side of the news with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco. We'll do the polls. We'll do some more phone calls. We'll talk about the website of the week. We'll have the winner of the spyware logjam contest, and a lot more. So stay tuned for Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
I'm Bob Matthew. Welcome back to America's longest running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Get online now. Call 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180 or *1180. A free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
That one's got to stay.
We all just look at each other now when that happens.
Yeah, we love that one.
And this is Soundbites. We're back, and we've had the trivia answered, but you know what? We had another contest, and this one lasted, what, months?
Yeah, a couple months. We've been kind of busy to getting around announcing the winner of it, but, you know, it had been going during the summer months. We had plugged it a few times in that. Right. And
this all started by the fact that when you run some of the pieces that I've put together in the Security Tango, adware and stuff like that, it'll come up and tell you how much spyware is on your system. And Dave would come in with a new total every week, and he was having a little contest with his technician, Dan. And we opened it up to the folks here at Soundbites as to who could bring us the most, as long as they sent in an actual screenshot.
Right. Marty here in this case did, and he sent me a screenshot with 5,604. All right, that's
on one machine.
One heck of a lot of spyware.
It is, and
it's a wonder that the machine even ran.
Our very own Abner Kravitz is who this is, and he's our winner, and we're going to send him also his very own copy of Anonymizer. Last week we didn't get to give one away, so this week we gave away two, and one goes to our friend Marty, who is a great computer technician and obviously has found a machine with a
boatload of
spyware.
Right,
I'm wondering how long that had been running to accumulate that many.
Yeah, well, exactly. That's a good question.
Well, I saw one which held the record for in my shop for a while. It had only been running for 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks, and it had 1,275.
Yeah. It doesn't take long.
No.
To accumulate this stuff like crazy. Yep. We're going to go back to the phones in a minute, but first I want to talk about our website, soundbites.org, and of course that is bites with a Y.
You made Rob jump, though.
I did make Rob jump. And last week's poll was what annoys you most about Windows, and one of our listeners, Dave, not the one sitting next to me, but a different one, because Dave doesn't actually listen to the show.
Yeah, it's hard to listen to the show when you're on it.
Yeah, it's true. It's hard to listen to the show anyway, but it is hard to listen to it when you're on it. I want to thank a friend of mine who I think should remain anonymous. I won't mention his name, but he just got a CD, an MP3 player for his car, and he's been listening to all the Soundbites archives.
Cool.
And apparently he hasn't actually reached the brain damage stage yet, but it should happen within the next two or three episodes. The question last week was, what annoys you most about Windows? We had 366 of you answering, making it number 42 on our all-time list. And the winner was security flaws with 45% of the vote, followed by the blue screen of death and painful upgrades, tied at 15% apiece. followed by that you insensitive clod still use it at 11%. 8% of you love Windows, and another 6% of you had a different opinion, which you were willing to leave on the show, so on the site.
That's a little lower than the 80-20 rule. 8% of the 80% of the computer users like the computer they're using.
This week, we had a question, as I've, and this week's question is, what do you do with your old computer equipment? And the choices are, give it to a relative, drop it on the curb, cannibalize it for parts, sell it, donate it, keep it, or a Linux-based router, you insensitive clod. Currently, we have 70... Wait for it, three! It's a little slow getting the website up. 73 responses. The winner right now is cannibalize it for parts, followed right on its heels with keep it, one vote short of that. Now, when you're done actually voting in the poll, take a look underneath the poll. You'll see a little yellow box, which lets you go over to my website, AskNick.com. That's AskNick.com. Where, that's good.
He's getting better. He's getting, Sundays is
or
really
worse. I'm not sure which it is.
I'm liking it.
I think he's punch drunk by the time we get in. We go over to my website, AskNick.com, and you can enter an actual opinion about the poll this week. So far, there are only five of them in there, and our very own Abner, who's already won the spyware contest, had another choice, which is even better. Put it into the distributed computing farm. What a clever idea that is. At any rate, please join us at soundbites.org and at AskNick.com. Once you've entered your opinion, go back to Soundbites. You can join us in the forums. We have lots and lots of folks in the forums putting messages up there and talking to each other and answering questions for each other. So if you can't get your question answered on the show, you can get it answered in the forums, the Soundbite forums. While you're there, check out the movie posters, the secretly recorded calls, the various logos and stuff. It's a wacky time at soundbites.org. Good group of people. I'm proud to be associated with them. So feel free to join us online. We'd love to see you too. Now it's back to the phones, and we're going to talk to Don from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Don. What's your question?
Good morning.
Good morning. Not anymore.
I'm running a Windows XP here.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, the thing come along, the message has come along that said, you can upgrade to the next upgrade there in for Windows.
Right.
The stat pack or whatever they call it, I think.
Service pack 2.
Service pack 2. All right. Now, what's the advantages or disadvantages of not doing it?
The advantages are that it fixes a lot of the insecurities in the system. The things that allow a lot of spyware and problems like that. It fixes a lot of the code that Microsoft didn't complete correctly the first time. The disadvantage is, I'm sure it's going to introduce a whole lot more bugs, and there are some machines, particularly machines that were not real clean to begin with, that it messes up extremely. It can go all the way from not working at all to just not working quite as well. But I have to tell you, the vast majority of people who install it are fine.
One of the things we have...
can do, though, is when you do it, is there's an express and a custom...
Stereo! Who would have expected that from AM radio?
But you can... I've been telling folks, do the custom.
Yeah.
This way, you can get all those security patches,
right,
and not go with the full-blown SP2. So if you do the custom, that offers the folks to say, all right, leave SP2 off my machine, but I want all these security patches.
Right.
And then that way you kind of alleviate, because some of the other stuff on that they're throwing in for the SP2 is really not needed.
Right.
And what I was going to say is one of the things that we've noticed is that if you've been upgrading your computer all along, 95 to 98 to 2000 to XP, that tends to have the most problems when you put the patch on it.
Right. A clean install of XP... That's not, before you install XP Service Pack 2, make sure you have run the Security Tango full out. Because if there's any spyware, any problems in the registry, anything like that, that's when SP2 seems to screw up the worst.
And go to the website of your computer's manufacturer and see if they have any specific updates necessary to be compatible with XP.
Right, any driver updates. They'll They'll list those there. You can give if you bought your machine locally, you can give the vendor a call and find out if your particular machine has any Service Pack 2 updates before you actually update to Service Pack 2. If not, you can go to the website of the manufacturer and do some hunting around for your specific components. Make sure that you look at each individual component, because just because you have, let's say, a Dell computer doesn't mean you've got the same video card as somebody else or the same motherboard revision as somebody else. You got to check that right down to that level. Luckily, if you bought your machine locally, someone can do that for you. The vendor can do that for you, but on the national sites, it could be a little harder. Does that help a little?
Yeah, it does. The next question is, though, if you had the choice of not upgrading or upgrading, which would you do?
To upgrade or not to upgrade?
Correct.
That is the question.
Yeah.
I'd have to say that.
Stop it. That was
it
on
depends.
Last night.
Yeah, I'm sure it was.
It depends.
If it's a fairly recent computer with a new install of XP and hasn't been upgraded all along over the years, and you run the Tango, you're probably very safe in installing it and won't have many problems.
Yeah, but again, if you had your choice of doing it, would you do it or wouldn't you do it?
I would suggest to most people that they make sure their machine is safe and then do it.
And then do it.
Whereas in my case, I sit there and I've just said, you know, do the custom.
Right.
I've only got it on one machine at our shop. And you compare that to the SP1, I can't really see any big advantages. So the other machines, we've just gone around and said custom and just downloaded the security patch.
Right. Okie doke. Thanks, Don. Listen, we have to take another break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and each and every one of you on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Anonymizer, I've said it before, I'm saying it again. What a terrific product. You get, we have a deal going for you right now. $90 worth of software. Spyware Killer, the Mail Shell Anti-Spam Desktop, and Anonymizer 2004. Get rid of your spyware, keep your spam from taking over your system, and keep your computer's address unlisted on the internet. Surf the internet with complete anonymity. That Spyware Killer, Anti-Spam Desktop, and Anonymizer 2004, $90 value, and you can get it for a mere $49.95. But Nick, how do I do that, you may ask? Well, I answer, go to www.getprivatenow.com. That's all one word, getprivatenow.com. You'll see a little box where you can type in my name, Nick, N-I-C-K, and that will give you the special price of $49.99. $90 worth of software at getprivatenow.com for $49.95. Go there, enter my name. It's great.
Online, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. Now, back to Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
I gotta say, I like that one. That's a nice little bump.
Yeah.
It's good.
All right.
You wrote it?
You're doing good.
Well, it's all right.
He pushed the button.
Okay, I guess.
I didn't push the button. I told the voice guy what to say.
I'm impressed by that one. We're back to the phones in a few minutes, but first we want to talk about the website of the week.
Like every week, you know, we try to offer a particular website of the week, kind of add different sites for different folks. But this one kind of will help parents. And this one is a free
God
filter.
God knows we need all the help we can get.
Yeah, really. Because I've had a number of folks call me because they're worried about where their kids are going to go because, you know, they're constantly surfing the internet and the parents can't be in front of that monitor every moment. Well, this one, Steve has already put the link up there, which is users.tpg.com.au/ADSLGOEJ. And again, it's up there. And what this site will do is allow you to download a free, it's freeware, folks, and it's a porn blocker. I know a lot of you folks, whether you've got very young kids or teenagers, you know, they go surfing around and everything else, and not necessarily going to those sites, might want to get them unwanted. I would definitely check this site out, because you can download it for free, and you have full control of blocking all these porn sites and having your kids not see them. And again, you know, I had one client come in, the kid's machine was literally, you know, I don't know what the heck he's doing. I said, it's not his fault. You could have gotten to that link and put it down there. Next time you open it up, boom, there are all the porn sites. So definitely check this site out. It's freeware, and it will block them automatically for you, plus you can get updates.
Yeah, great, great one. Nice. Mm-hmm. All right, we're back to the phones. Our next caller is Bill from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Bill. What's your question?
Hi, guys. You mentioned a website last week where people can go and find out, like, all the latest and greatest stuff that they're working on that won't come out for, like, years for real geeks that want to read about it and stuff. You remember what it was?
If we talked about it, it's in the...
I don't remember that, though.
No, it's not in the links.
It's not in the links. And we talked about a website where you can go to see future, what, computer stuff?
Yeah, like all the latest, like all the kinds of things that that they're working on that haven't really come out yet, stuff like that.
Not us.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
No. I don't remember that. Well, the easy answer is just go to the archives,
okay,
and grab last week's show.
Good enough.
And
I'm sorry, and let us know what it is.
Because we're drawing a blank.
I'm a little confused as to what that might be. There are
sites
where you can go and read. I mean, there are news sites that you can go to, like Slashdot. Places like that to talk about. Maybe that's what we're talking about. Slashdot.org. You might want to put that in the archives. It's a news site that brings up all kinds of interesting things about computers, about science, about philosophy, about everything, law, everything. And it's a great site to read a little bit about the news of what's going on. But
news for nerds, stuff that matters.
Exactly. He's got nudes on the brain.
Yeah.
It's all he thinks about.
Well, because I just finished typing that porn blocker in.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, that's the reason. I knew that.
Uh-huh.
Ooh, look at you stud.
Oh! Nice. It's slashdot.org, and it's news for nerds, stuff that matters. Maybe that's what we were talking about, Bill. Give that a try. Let us know if we were even close to saying the same thing 2 weeks in a row. Our next.
There's also a Mac slash that is Mac specific, similar concept.
Yeah, nobody goes there. Okay, our next. See, it used to be I'd get a rise out of him. If I say something like that, you have specific. You know, 17,000 people go there every minute.
Now he's
used to us.
Not to be confused with slash fiction.
Not to be confused with what?
Slash fiction.
Right. There's a lot of slashes, but we're looking for slash dot. Pretty neat stuff. Our next caller is Jeff, also from Rochester, New York. What are the odds? What's your question, Jeff?
Hello, how you doing? I have a question. I just got an eyesight camera, and I want to optimize use of the AV capability on my computer, but most of my family is Windows-based.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything available for iChat AV to use with someone who uses
AOL Instant Messenger? iChat is fully compatible with AIM, 4.8 or whatever it is, the latest version of AIM under Windows.
Under Windows?
Yeah.
Are you able to use the video, the camera?
Sure.
As well?
Yeah. Any USB. Well, the FireWire cameras are better for higher quality video, but you can use USB cameras as well.
So what you're talking about is you'll have the eyesight on your camera, on your machine.
Right.
And you want to be able to for them to see you.
Exactly.
Right.
Now, you can send a video chat to someone who doesn't have a camera themselves. You can send the video to them, and then they can do a text message back to you.
Or if they have sound, they can do sound back to you.
Right. If you both have video cameras, then you can do two-way video chat.
Okay.
And then one of the features they're showing off in the next version of OS X, you'll be able to do a four-way video chat, you and three other people. So
right,
really
right.
Expanding on the video conferencing abilities.
Now, the other thing that you want your family to be aware of is that if you or any of them are on dial-up, it's going to look a little ugly.
Yeah, the video doesn't actually support dial-up, but you probably get one or two frames per second.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not video so much as a series of stills.
Yeah.
I was very upset. My sister just purchased a new Sony laptop, and I wanted her to get a Macintosh one because I thought that it would be better, but...
isn't that the way sisters always are?
It's true.
Okay, now that we've sowed familial discord among Jeff's family, we can move on. Thank you very much, Jeff.
Oh boy!
And Steve, you were going to say something before we went to Jeff.
Well, yeah, after I typed in the /.url, their top story today is that scientists have defined Murphy's Law. Quantity U plus C plus I times quantity 10 minus S divided by 20 times A times 1 over the quantity 1 minus 9 of F over 10.
We don't care. We don't care. We're bored now.
So they now have an actual definition of Murphy's Law.
If you want to see that, you can go to /.org. In the meantime, we're going to go to a commercial. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Patch later.
It's America's longest running computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Did you write that one too? I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites.
Notice how my name's not in any of them though?
Why is that?
I just didn't write my own name in there.
Why?
I'm not the celebrity. I push the buttons. You know what I'm saying?
No, I bet there are as many people out there who know Rob Linton as know all the rest of us.
Can you imagine the voice guy? I mean, even on our webpage, you go down the bottom, and there's the rock.
One of my friends goes, did you know your name's on there for answering computer questions? I'm like, sweet. I'll just pass them on to Nick Davis. What was I going to say? I forgot.
You were going to say, can you imagine the voice guy
trying to do Rob Linton? Oh, that'd be hilarious. Maybe we'll have that for next week.
That would be perfect. Our next caller, however, is Will from Fairport, New York. Welcome, Will. What's your question?
How do you do, guys? Doing a great job.
Thank you.
Listen, whenever I start up my machine, I'm running a fairly new machine with Windows XP Home Edition.
Uh-huh.
I am recently been getting a message that says, error loading C:\Windows\System32/bridge.dll. What is that DLL business?
DLL is a dynamic link library. And what that means is Windows is huge, and it can't fit everything into your system at once. And so what it does is it leaves parts of it that it thinks it's not going to need right away out on the hard drive. And they're linked libraries that it can dynamically load or not load
pieces when it needs it.
As it needs them. And that's what a DLL normally is all about. However, there are a couple of bridge.dll, a couple of programs that are known as bridge.dll. Okay. But in general, it's spyware. I hate to be the one to break that to you, but it appears to be spyware.
That's not what I wanted to hear. However.
Well, it sounds like the error probably means you ran an anti-spyware program. It removed it, but didn't quite remove the
registry.
Have
you run the Tango?
Not yet. That's why I'm calling you guys.
You will be today, won't you?
That's what you're doing this afternoon. Download them, update them.
Okay. Yeah.
Both, you know, the SpyBot and Adware, even though you're downloading them fresh from the website, they have the old DAT files in them, information files. So the first thing you got to do on both of them when you run them is I usually run SpyBot first before doing it, check for the updates. And then the other critical thing that we haven't been mentioning with SpyBot is once you've removed it, there's a little button there that says immunize. And what the immunization does is it remembers those, I think it's over 1,200 pieces of spyware that it will now permanently block from your system while it's trying to get anything in.
Yeah, the new version SE actually leads you through all of that before it even lets you run the program.
Of
Adware, which is called Adware SE.
Oh, okay.
So I would suggest you go to our website, securitytango.com.
Okay.
Click on the Let's Dance button on the left.
Right.
And you will see a series of steps. You need to follow them in order. Don't skip them. Don't jump ahead. Don't miss any. There's only a half a dozen to seven steps right now.
Okay. Very good. See, one of the main reasons I'm calling you, I got the new SP2 from a friend of mine to load it in my machine, and I didn't want to do that unless I called you guys first about this error I'm getting.
You're a very smart man.
Yes, because that's critical. That's one of the things Microsoft warns folks, is to definitely scan your machine of any spyware before even attempting to do SP2.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Sounds great.
Well done, Will.
Okay. Thanks, guys. You're doing a great job. One more time.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We love to hear that. Our next caller, Frank, from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Frank. What's your question?
Nick, from listening to your show a lot, I know that you like old-time radio.
I love old-time radio.
Are there any free sites where I can download
not so much anymore.
CD?
Very, very little, unfortunately.
Nick used to have the best one in the world.
Yes, actually I did, and it was in the world. The problem, it was sending out 7 gigabytes of old-time radio a day, and that's a lot. So
if anyone knows of a free or inexpensive internet provider that will host 7 gigabytes a day
of bandwidth, not storage, but of bandwidth.
Most of the sites are like 50 megs a month.
Because I lost it.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
It's a test box. Well, don't hang up, Frank.
Okay.
It's a testbox.cob.rit.edu. It's called the Cobalt Club.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an old-time radio site, and there's a bunch of people there. They're still discussing old-time radio and stuff. The problem is there's two problems with this. Old-time radio, for those of you who don't know, is the greatest stuff on earth.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Shadow and Superman and all the old-time radio shows. All the stars did radio shows. Frank Sinatra and Lorne Bacall and Jack Benny and Humphrey Bogart and everybody did them. They're great half an hour little melodramas. They're wonderful. The problem is that there is a company called Radio Spirits who says they own the rights to all of them. They've never proved that to anybody. Nobody's ever seen anything, but they sue everybody who tries to give away this stuff because they say they own it. Now, according to every lawyer online, they're saying that 99% of this stuff, not the Shadow and a couple of others, but 99% of this stuff is in the public domain, but nobody is willing to go to court and spend the money to find that out. So most of the sites don't offer much. They'll offer one show a week, maybe, you know, and that kind of keeps them under the radar.
Well, I bought some on eBay over the last few months, and they're pretty good. I just thought that, seeing I got a CD burner, I could be nice to, get something free for a change.
Yeah, check out the Cobalt Club at testbox.cob.rit.edu. Steve's got that up online, so you can just go to soundbites.org and get it from there.
Thank you very much.
I wish I could find a place. Thank you, Frank. I wish I could find a place that didn't mind hosting 7 gigabytes a day of bandwidth and didn't charge me for that.
Well, you've got an OC3 in your office now. They shouldn't notice 7 gigs a day, should they?
Well, it's still a quarter of the OC3. It really is. So that is kind of noticeable when I'm a quarter of the bandwidth.
Well, you need to put a requisition in for your own OC3.
Yeah,
right.
Well, you know what? I've
for
often
this server
fantasized,
farm, we need another one, yeah.
I've often fantasized winning the lottery and putting the site back up somewhere. I would do that. There's no question to that. But old-time radio is a whole lot of fun. And I'll tell you what, I specifically bought my iPod from the Jesse Group to listen to old-time radio, and I'm listening to that and audiobooks. I almost never listen to music on it, but I always listen to old-time radio and audiobooks on it, and it's great. It's great stuff. Our next caller, Kevin from Fairport, New York. Welcome, Kevin. What's your question?
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Not too bad. Last week I bought my son The Sims 2.
Right.
And one of the things, well, we're running on a Dell Dimension 2400.
Uh-huh.
Unfortunately, it's got an integrated AGP card.
Uh-huh.
With no AGP slot. So I'm wondering if I'd see any benefit to moving up to like a Radeon 9200 that's PCI-based.
I suspect you would, yes.
Probably. One of the biggest issues with the built-in video is it's cheap, but it's cheap because there's no dedicated video RAM. It shares your main system RAM. How much system RAM does the computer have?
I put 512 in.
Yeah, you can often go into BIOS and upgrade that shared RAM, 16 meg, 32 meg, but a dedicated video card, even if it's a PCI video card, will probably be faster than shared video.
Because all the actual processing happens on the card itself.
But the PCI ones are going to be more expensive than the AGPs.
Yes, they are. We're going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes.
We're done. Football.
Oh, we're done. It's football. That's right, folks. Time for football. You got to watch the Giants this week. They're 4-for-4. They're at Dallas. playing the Cowboys. You'll love it. We'll be back next week at 11 a.m. with Dave Enright,
Rochester,
Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Bob.